What is up, everybody? I am Andy, the new last word host. Mostly, you know, when a new host would come in, they'd say they're new and improved, but Iggy is such a good looking dude that this is a downgrade, I think, right? So let me get in the people here that you guys are happy to see today. I want to bring in our guests for the show. First, Sean is going to come in. Sean, let's get him. Oh my gosh, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, right. Well, let's just bring everybody in. Why not? So this is Gary, Elijah, Isaiah, and Sean. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, Elijah. Hey. You're supposed to say something there.
Hello, hello.
This is good.
What's up, connectors?
All right. What's so up? Gary's a good friend of mine, extremely opinionated. I'm glad to have him here today. Elijah, he works for about every company you could imagine, including Project Nerd. And he has what's the name of the podcast? Game Rant? What is it? Game Pitch?
Game Pitch, yeah. Close.
Game Pitch. Close. I don't know. You know, that's why you have to promote yourself. Sean here is a toy creator extraordinaire. And if you're interested in some awesome vinyl toys or stuffed tentacles, he's got you.
Yes, sir.
And then Isaiah here is from Select Screen. He is a rapper, artist, musician, streamer, does kind of all of it. I'm glad to have you here today.
Ooh-wee.
All right, you guys. Well, we're not going to waste any time. Listen, I don't want to waste time. Let's just get right to it here, and let's get right into round one. All right. So, first question we've got today for you. Last 2 weeks, we've seen Suicide Squad and Free Guy release in theaters to openings of less than $30 million. And as a matter of fact, $30 million seems to be what is considered now as a big opening because studios are actually happy with that number. So I'm sure most thought things would get back to normal right now by now, but they really just haven't. And my question for you today is, to start, are theaters in trouble, or do we need to just recalibrate what success means for movie theater openings? Now, this is, you know, again, we've asked this question before, but we're starting to see that this 30 million mark is the new normal. So what do you guys think? Let's go Gary first.
Do I think theaters are in trouble? It depends on how you want to look at it, because I think this could be a big thing for drive-in theaters to come back with the whole COVID thing going and people don't, you know, social distancing. So if you go to a drive-in theater, you're social distanced and you can still enjoy your movie. Or it could, as far as exclusivity with streaming networks, you could do that. But at the same time, you got to take a hit, kind of like Black Widow. It's a give and take because you know what you're going to get if you do that.
Well, you know what, Gary, as long as it's in the contract, I don't care what you do, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't have it in my contract, I'm going to sue for sure.
Yep, Elijah, like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she should sue. Good for her. Yep. And if you side with Disney, you're a weird person. Go ahead, Elijah.
Yeah, you know, Gary, I was going to say that I think I'm on the exact opposite side of you. I think the Band-Aid has officially been ripped off, and I don't think that theaters are in trouble. I just think that they're never going to have the numbers that they had before. I mean, you know, there's a segment of people who didn't know that they could just always watch every Tom Cruise movie from their couch, and now they can, right? So if you're willing to pay that $30 to buy your mom Jungle Cruise so she can watch The Rock run across the screen shirtless, like, that's something you can do now. And why would I want to sit in my stinky, gross car in a theater? You know, like, I don't want popcorn in my car. I don't want to be spilling things. I can just sit in the comfort of my home. And yeah, I don't think they're in trouble, but I do think that they're never going to hit the numbers that they ever hit in the past. Like, we're not seeing lines around the theaters anymore.
Two things here, Elijah. Firstly, I want to interject. If you don't know how the game works, basically, I'm going to score points arbitrarily for everybody, and we're going to eliminate one person every round until we get to our last final contestant. Elijah knows me so well that he threw in Tom Cruise and Shirtless Rock in the same sentence, so that's definitely going to be worth some points there. And now, also, though, you're going to lose a point because you clearly don't have kids. Watching movies at home is both cheap but also not easy, as your children are usually screaming at you. So there you go, Bachelor. Back to the side there for you. Sean, come on up.
Well, you know, I think part of it too right now with the low numbers we're seeing in theaters are these are movies that aren't exactly big staples. You know, Suicide Squad is kind of a niche movie. Black Widow was one that, you know, we were kind of excited about, but it didn't really make our story go any further than it had before. So it kind of was just filling in some blanks that we already had an idea about before. So I think until we see a really, really big time, I don't know, Endgame type movie come out again, where we can really judge how people are going to head back to the theater for that, it's really hard to say. I can say that I work real closely with a small theater here in Craig where I'm from, and they struggled like crazy through this. And we're very lucky they even made it, honestly. the numbers, the amount of money that they have to pay to get some of these bigger movies in there is crazy, you know, and they can barely make money on some of them. And they have also the downfall of people being able to sit at home and watch it. So not as many people go. And for our theater, it sucks double because they usually don't get it for, you know, the night after, because most of these are dropping on Thursday and people are watching it. And if you watch it on Thursday, there's no reason to go out to the theater on Friday. So I believe a lot like Eli said there, theaters are never going to come back the way that they were before. They're going to kind of have to examine what is going to work for them and what isn't. You know, Alamo Drafthouse was a really good example of models that just don't work anymore. You know, they ended up consolidating, doing bankruptcy. I think we're going to see more theater chains go bankrupt and do Chapter 11s. So it's going to be an interesting, I think the next 12 months will be very telling for the future of media in general, because they're not willing to take chances either. You know, you're just not seeing new actors.
All right, Isaiah. Now, just so that you're aware, Back to the Future, when it launched, made $11 million in opening weekend, and that was a huge success. So, oh my, how times have changed. Do you think that theaters can survive?
I think not only theaters can survive, I think the Suicide Squad.
Are you stroking your non-existent beard?
Yes, non-existence, non-existent. Okay. I'm speaking it into existence.
Okay.
This is, I'm going to use a quote from the Suicide Squad to answer this question. If rats have a purpose, so do we all. Movie theaters are coming back, guys. Why? Okay. Because you can't get that same experience. You can't go out with your loved one in your house, sit in a sticky seat that someone else sat in, and have that same experience. It, look, there is a place for movie theaters, and I think they're going to bounce back. I got to disagree wholeheartedly with Sean on not having big movies to come out. I think Suicide Squad was the best DC movie of all time. Of all time. Better than
let's,
The Dark Knight.
Listen, let's not go there. It's Justice it's League. Coming. Zack Snyder's Justice League wants to have a word with you. But Isaiah, you're on a roll there. Keep going.
To make my point is that it's a thing of easing into it, right? People are getting more and more comfortable with this. They like streaming at home, but there's something to be said about doing a dinner and a movie, and I don't think that's ever going to go out of style. If I can take my wife out for a nice night, going to see millions and millions and millions of rats run over Idris Elba, we will do that forever.
100%. You know, there's something to be said for a cheap date, and that's just kind of that's what movies are, man. It's a good, hey, let's go see something. You don't have to, you know, as a married couple, you don't always have to go out and talk the whole time too. You know, you talk all the time, just being around each other in the theater is kind of a nice thing too. So I hope movies don't die, but this is going to segue nicely into our next question for this. Going into the fall is one of my favorite times of the years actually for movies, just because we kind of start off in September with the Nobody Wants to See Us movies. Outside of Shang-Chi right now, there's really nothing in September that's any good. But we do have a great October and December that usually follows that. So this year, we have a ton of really good movies, and the blessing because of COVID, if we can say that there's any blessings that come out of this, is that we're getting movies released on different weeks. So we typically will only have one big release per week, which to me, again, is an awesome thing. And I think that's going to help movie theaters. Top Gun Maverick, of course, is the only exception to this opening on a holiday weekend with a couple of other titles. But that's definitely the big main title for that Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, kind of a two-part question here. Do you think the spread out release schedule is something that we could get used to again? And what movie this fall gets you most excited? Let's start with Elijah.
So I think October, just in general, when it comes to movies, is the thing that gets me most excited. And yeah, like you were saying, it's basically like they didn't plan on having this many movies coming out in back-to-back weeks, and in some cases on the same Fridays. But I mean, many Saints of Newark. And the other thing is that when you say these releases, they're not just theaters. A lot of them are coming to HBO Max. A lot of them are coming to streaming as well. But there's The French Connection. There's Dune. Not The French Connection, The French Dispatch.
Whatever.
Last Night in Soho.
You want to watch
The Last Duel? Like every week in October has a movie that I want to see in theaters or pay for at home. So I think we're going to benefit, and it's going to take us through this holiday season very nicely. But yeah, I think we've almost entered a new era, and even though COVID has affected it, content is king, and it's the thing that every giant corporation is chasing, a content machine. So I don't think that actually just because of COVID that we're going to start having more releases. I actually think because of the way that shareholders and stockholders are seeing their prices rise once they have a streaming service and they're creating things. I think content is at a premium more than ever, and you're seeing it in the way different IPs are being mined, and Invincible has a cartoon, you know, and The Boys has a TV show. It's like all these things that were just comics that you just got to read and were cool are now becoming these huge things. I mean, FX has Why the Last Man coming. There's just a content like gold rush happening. Well, and like, you know, there's even Walking Dead movies coming. Like, come on, guys.
And what? There's a reason that Disney's poured so much money into the Disney Plus stuff, right? I mean, there's clearly money to be made on a streaming service, and clearly people are watching too. Isaiah, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like the spread out release, especially when we look at the kind of the Netflix model, like an AMC does, where you can have this pass and go and see movie after movie after movie. There was a spell before COVID where you would pay, you know, $30 a month to go and see, you know, one movie and hope that something else was worth using that pass for. And so I think having a spread out schedule is really, really going to help that. For me, again, I'm looking at Shang-Chi, and if we ever get Spider-Man No Way Home, those are the movies that I'm really, really looking forward to. And I think, again, that's going to drive people back to the theaters because they are big hitters. Yeah.
I can't believe you're the first person to drop No Way Home so far.
Give me the trailer. Where is the trailer? Give me the trailer. Please.
All right, Gary, what do you got?
I kind of agree with Isaiah with the Spider-Man No Way Home, but at the same time, I don't really care that much anymore. Once something gets delayed so many times, I lose my interest. And that's with anything in general. But as far as like movies coming out, you know, they named them all Dune, Spider-Man No Way Home, or No Way Home, Venom. I want to see Venom, but I don't.
Good too.
I think Venom is going to be a big mess, honestly, but I still want to see it. That makes sense.
I mean, there's nobody that can really convince me that they're like I love Woody Harrelson, but he just doesn't look.
It doesn't work. It's got to be bad, but I'm still going to see it.
You know, well, and you know, Gary, I know that you have this a little bit, but I've also talked to a lot of people now that have Marvel fatigue. So, you know, basically that they're kind of over what Marvel's formula has been. And that's why this year has been so great for Marvel, because they put out, to me, content that was different a little bit than what they're used to doing. And I think that's why they've had a good year with their Disney Plus shows. What I would hate to see is, right, them to go back to what they were used to doing, which is just the movies, you know, six movies a year or whatever. All right, Sean, finish us off here. What do you got?
So ones I'm really excited about, man, I really am excited to see what Sony does with this extended Spider-Man-ish universe. I'm really stoked. I'm one of those guys who like love hates Venom because there's so many funny things about it, and I love that Tom Hardy looks like dog shit the whole movie.
He does look fantastic. Like a homeless guy the whole
totally.
Time.
It's my favorite, dude. He doesn't look good at one point in that whole movie. And maybe go back and watch Natural Born Killers and tell me that Woody Harrelson maybe hasn't already played Cletus Cassidy, because I think that movie's going to end up being surprisingly cool. Morbius, you know, we're going to get to finally see Leto as another superhero ish villain, like, you know, he plays villain heroes. I'm also really excited about Halloween Kills. I'm a big horror guy, so Halloween Kills, Candyman coming out also, come on, he hasn't delivered us anything bad yet. I'm excited about that. I'm very cautiously optimistic about Ghostbusters because I had no hope for that thing, and I saw that trailer. And I might have had an old man tear drop down right here into the beard somewhere. As far as them coming out weekly, man, I think that's great. I'm the type of guy who grew up watching X-Files every Friday. So, and that was great. I had something to look forward to all the time. So I dig this. Sometimes I think the model of releasing it all at once and just binging that shit kind of makes it a little less special in a way, because you can just consume a 10-hour series in a day, whereas with you know, Loki, every, what was it, Wednesday, I think, I was excited. And same thing with WandaVision. It's cool. I like that build of suspense up to what has so far been satisfying conclusions to these series they've given us.
I love the week-to-week stuff, man. It's great because I get to bug Elijah about all my wacky theories, and then he just poo-poos me the whole time and tells me how stupid my ideas are. Mephisto. Right, Elijah?
Mephisto.
All right. So through one round of scoring, you guys made a lot of great points. Sean, you were the first person to mention Ghostbusters, though. That's so wild to me. That's like probably one of the best mainstream movies coming out this fall. And it got like kind of second thought. It's because everyone's so excited for Spider-Man and seeing what wild stuff Disney does. I can't also believe Eternals. Like, there's no Eternals mentioned here. Like, Eternals to me looks like it's going to be great. Like, it's could potentially be a really, really good Marvel movie that's different. Again, like we're talking about it. Gary, you're shaking your head no. Well, guess what, Gary? You're the low man though in round one, so you could shake your head no into the waiting room after this. Through the first round, Isaiah 4, Gary, you had 3, Elijah, you had 4, and Sean, you had 5 points, arbitrarily scored by myself. Gary, I appreciate you for being here, and don't think that this is your last turn on the show. You know, I want you around more. So wave goodbye for now, Gary. We'll bring you back in at the end of the episode, okay? All right, so we are down to 3. That means that we are getting into round 2. All right, let's go. Okay, so round 2, we're going to be doing more questions. This one was kind of asked a little bit in the last episode, but I'm kind of going to frame it around something that was news that had broken this week. So Michael Schur, who's creator and producer of Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and like basically every good show that's come out in the last 15 or 20 years. It's a sitcom, Office, right? All of those. So he's going to be doing a straight to series order of a new show for Peacock called Field of Dreams based off of the movie. Now, I think when you first hear this, you don't think it's going to be a great idea, but you think about what Michael Schur does and how he is able to bring this weird, quirky comedy into stuff. It could honestly be a really, really good project. So this is a two-part question for you because I'm really excited about this and I wasn't before. Do you think you're going to watch this show and shows like this? Because this is not the first one. And then what's the beloved movie from the 80s or 90s that has to have a TV show made next? You know, we first had Karate Kid. I still won't watch that show. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to do it. Maybe one day. I don't know. Maybe pay me to do it. But so Field of Dreams. What's next, though? Isaiah, let's start with you.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm definitely watching this because one of the benefits of something like Peacock, I have Comcast, so I get Peacock absolutely free. And for instance, I haven't watched WWE wrestling in so long, but it was free on Peacock. And I was like, why would I not watch this? Mm-hmm. So when you tell me Field of Dreams as a TV show, let's do it. I'm in because it's not going to hurt me. Like, why not watch the show? The movie from the 80s or 90s that needs its own TV show is The Nightmare Before Christmas. We need that world filled out more, right? Because we got to see, you know, Christmas, we got to see Halloween, but what about Thanksgiving? I want to know and see what Jack is doing in Thanksgiving world, you know?
So you want a show between the, that's a great, you know, at first I was super out on what you were saying, but now I'm kind of in on that. There's like a weird holiday in the middle. So
right. St. Patrick's Day, you know, he's getting wasted. Like we want to see that thing happen.
Skellington's Holidays, yes. Just a Disney Plus show that every new holiday has got a new episode. I'm in. That's a great idea. Sean, what do you got?
So if you had asked me that question, a year ago, I would have said, are you crazy? A Field of Dreams series? What am I, nuts? And then this show came along called Cobra Kai. And I watched that, and I could not have cared any less about Karate Kid before that. And now I don't know karate, but I want to. And I love it, man. I think these series that they're bringing back, they were like these properties in the past. They've all turned out great. I don't know if you've seen the Mighty Ducks one. Equally fantastic. It's just great. You get all these actors that you loved in the movie coming back to play these parts. And it's awesome, man. I think
mainly because they're not doing too much else, but... But,
right. It's cool. You know, that guy, you can tell the guy who plays Johnny, man, that's like he's that's his soul, man. He puts everything into that part. And I just love how much he loves playing that. It's cool to see these guys are like, hell yeah, come back and do that. If I could make any 80s, 90s property into a current series, I want a What We Do in the Shadows style Beetlejuice series based around the undead department. Maybe some Office vibes to it. You know, we got like a reality camera walking around dealing with the day to day of the tire man hanging from the rail, you know, how they do their hires and what happens if you get fired from the undead department. You know, I think it'd be wonderful, man. I'd be all in on that.
If Michael Keaton's in on that, I'm in on that. So now, would Tim Burton put this together? Because that might sour me. I don't know. Let's get Michael Schur to do it.
I'll argue that Tim Burton hasn't made anything good since like Batman Returns, but you know, that's another Nightmare Before Christmas.
You found a home. Elijah, let's see what you got. What do you think here for the 80s coming back?
Yeah, so I want to say Field of Dreams, great movie, right? But like, I just think that baseball's boring, and I'm even wearing a Red Sox hat that I got at Fenway right now. So I'm totally a poser and just bought this for the fashion reasons. But a Field of Dreams show doesn't really excite me. Now, if it's Field of Dreams, but like other sports, like the Rink of Ritual, and it's like a hockey thing, or like, I don't know, whatever the football equivalent, or the Pitch of Paranormal, for soccer stuff, I would be way more into a Field of Dreams style show, but a different sport, just not baseball. Baseball's boring. It's not America's pastime. No one likes baseball. The ratings are in the tank, right?
That's plus 2 points for hating baseball.
Okay, yes, thank you. What I have to say when it comes to what 80s, 90s property I want to see actually made into something else, there's this little thing in 1986 called Transformers. What a great movie that they should totally make into a series that's good. I would really love to see a good Transformers series.
Elijah, it's already been done. Michael Bay did it.
No, that's a movie. It's not a series. I need a live-action Transformers series that doesn't suck.
I'm going to go back around. Elijah, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to ask one more question on this here because you brought up something interesting. So to you, does it matter who the showrunner is on a show like this? I mean, I know that you like Michael Schur's stuff. But you don't think that he can make a show like Field of Dreams work?
No, I definitely think that he could make a show like Field of Dreams work. Because, like, yeah, you're right. The auteur, the creative mind behind it is really sometimes all I need to be sold on something. You know, when it comes to you, you know, Zack Snyder is the co-sign for you that you're just like, yeah, I'm in. And then for me, like, yeah, it's just I'll follow Rian Johnson into a pit of hell and watch every movie he makes until the end of time. So,
and yeah, that's where you're going to go to for the rest of this question. Rian Johnson's pit of hell on the right. And Isaiah, what do you think about that? Do you think a showrunner can save a show?
I will follow anyone into heaven. It does. It absolutely does. Again, look at Suicide Squad and The Suicide Squad. Now, I know David Ayer didn't get his just due, but when you have a movie trailer studio create something and use the same property with James Gunn, and he loves and understands the characters, it goes a long way. Same thing with Mortal Kombat. If you don't have somebody who loves the Mortal Kombat games, when they go to make a movie, it's like, you don't understand the characters well. So it's vital that not only is it a good director, a good producer, but they have to understand the properties very, very well.
I imagine Gary is seething in the waiting room right now thinking about Mortal Kombat, because I know he's got very strong opinions about that. What about you, Sean? Do you think a show creator can save a show?
You know, I think when it comes to television and media like that, it matters more. With movies, ultimately the studio has all the control, you know, and they can ruin David Ayer's Suicide Squad with a couple cuts, taking Joker out of there and stuff. But when it comes to television, yeah, I think it really does matter, because I will throw Scott Gimple into the pit of hell. He has ruined Walking Dead. He came in there in that seventh season, and the way he ended on zero, you know, anything, and then came back in the seventh season with the death of Glenn. Like, he absolutely just...
Wait, Glenn died?
Down.
Gotcha there for a second. There. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I think they can definitely make or break it, man, because the same as Isaiah, you know, there's a lot that I will absolutely follow and watch whatever they make, man. I'm with you. I think Zack Snyder's, except the Army of the Dead. Oh, God, I couldn't get into that one. But everything else Zack Snyder has made, I've really enjoyed. I love 300. And so, yeah, man, I'll definitely go watch him or not based on who made it.
Yeah, it's funny, as I do think that the reverse can happen, right? Where I think good showrunners, good directors, good creators can make content that might not seem good better, right? But that bad directors or bad leaders, bad showrunners can take good stories like Walking Dead and really
destroy it in one season.
Yeah,
and Fear the Walking Dead, they let him run that for some friggin' reason, man. I don't know what the hell they were thinking there, but that went to hell too.
Game of Thrones.
You know,
Game
of Thrones too. It's the catch.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is bleh.
Listen, guys, I like Game of Thrones, okay? Yeah, Elijah's all sad down there too. So arbitrarily scoring that round, Elijah, you only have 3 points while the other two have 4 and 5 points. So Elijah, I'm going to need you to wave goodbye to everybody because I'm going to go ahead and eliminate you right now. And we're going to move into the final round here with our last two contestants. Let me get the fancy music for you. You guys doing okay over there? You need anything? All right, cool. Here we go. Round three. All right. So we are back now. Round three, final round. This is kind of a one-on-one battle between the two of you guys. I'm kind of going to talk about video games here a little bit. So video game season's on us with the release of the likely same game again, Madden. And I know that you've played it, Isaiah, and probably feel the same way that I do. What game are you guys excited about this year now that we're in video game season? And what do you think that the shortage is going to do for the excitement for that, for those games? Isaiah, man, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Really too. Metroid Dread looks absolutely fantastic to me. I am so excited. I don't know if I've ever been so excited for a Metroid game. Just that 2D scrolling, it's been years since that has been seen. I'm super, super excited for that. And then be able to play that mobile anywhere I go, super excited for that. And then, man, I'm super excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy game just looks phenomenal. The voice acting is there. The game just looks phenomenal. Next gen hardware is going to be using this thing. And then I have to sneak this in for Andy. Topless Rock, Tom Cruise, and NBA 2K22. What more do you want? All three of those people on your couch.
Topless Rock and Tom Cruise are playing 2K22 together, I'd be watching. I think I'm excited for, I'm not excited for Metroid. Sorry about that.
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead, Sean. What do you got? Are you excited for so many games coming in this year? And
so the ones that are standing out to me right now that I'm super stoked about, it's been such a competitive multiplayer world for so long. And I always get my ass kicked online. So I have gotten out of multiplayer games, but now all of a sudden we're getting Back for Blood, which is basically someone finally saying, all right, Valve, if you're not going to make Left 4 Dead 2, we'll take over and make one that's basically Left 4 Dead 2. That looks fantastic. I'm really down to play that. I'm super excited about Aliens Fireteam because, Aliens is my jam. Cool. Yeah, my son's named Bishop. I'm a big fan of Aliens, period. And it looks like they finally did the game right. You know, we're going to have some cool alien battles where the aliens don't run through walls and stuff. So that looks pretty cool. I lucked out and was able to get one of the Series S. The thing with these consoles, I think if you're just patient and you just wait a little bit, there's not any huge games that I'm going to super be bummed about. If like I hadn't have gotten my Xbox aside from Halo, which it would really suck if I wasn't able to play Halo when it came out. But, you know, with the Game Pass having the game streaming now, if you have a capable internet, you can play it anyway, I believe, on your PC or your original Xbox One, which is a really cool idea because that kind of bypasses the hardware shortage and lets people still experience these games without having to luck out or beat a bot or, you know, buy something for three times what it's worth. So,
Back for Blood is a Game Pass game too. So you're lucky to have an egg be on the Xbox infrastructure because that's going to be something you play for free.
Game Pass is dope, man. I hardly buy games anymore.
It's allowing me to basically buy Aliens Fireteam. So thank you, Game Pass, for putting that together for me. I am surprised that none of you next geners have mentioned Battlefield, just because that does look like it's going to be a lot of fun with the 64 versus 64. Elijah, Gary, you guys can hear me down there. Make sure you guys have a game ready to come in when I bring you back in at the end, because I want to hear what you guys think as far as which game you're most excited for coming out. Elijah has worked on a little game called Rain on Your Parade, and that is on Game Pass still, I believe. We'll ask him about that here in a little bit.
The problem with Battlefield right now, though, is for me, I really, really enjoyed Battlefield 1. I love the historical kind of thing that they did. And then when they moved on to the latest Battlefield, they kind of took all of that out and we're going to do games as a service. And that's something that I'm kind of getting tired of, is games as a service. I want a finished Cyberpunk, finished game where I can play it, have fun with my friends or without my friends, but I want a complete game. So with this new Battlefield, I'm like, I want to get excited. I want to be excited, but I don't know if the game's going to be complete until a year, maybe 2 years after I've already given them now $70.
Well, to your to your point, I mean, they released the fire team mode for the Battlefield 5 like a year after it launched. So that's like, so there is apparently a mode in this new one that's going to kind of be like Escape from Tarkov survival mode, if you've ever played that game before. That could be interesting because they're trying to do something different. They said that they're not doing a battle royale, but they're going to focus on some new game types that they're excited about. All right, last question here, and then we're done for the day, guys. So this, let's get this one short here. Sea of Thieves broke its player count record 3 years after its release. So that came out 3 years ago. I tried it. I wasn't into it. Maybe I should go back now because this is all thanks to the release of the Johnny Depp expansion pack, Pirates of the Caribbean. They topped almost 5 million concurrent players at one point. This is not a Johnny Depp question or an Amber Heard question because that's a weird scenario right now. Is there any games you guys are late to the party on that you just are like sorry that you missed for a year or two? Isaiah, I'll start with you.
Grand Theft Auto. I have not really given Grand Theft Auto a chance. I played a little bit of single player, liked it, and then everything else came out. And they're online, Red Dead, all of those games kind of came out. And I was just like, I've never tried this online thing for Grand Theft Auto. And my understanding is that it has just blossomed into a money-making machine. And it's a lot of fun to play.
It's exciting that you're into it. I can't mind you. And also horrifying because now we're going to have to wait 10 more years for GTA 6.
Yeah, and even that, they're already saying the bar is going to be so high, which Rockstar, of course, it is, you know. But I don't know. I just haven't jumped on. I literally own it. It's sitting right behind me. But I just have not played that game for some reason, and it's probably time to get back into it.
I don't know. If you don't have money to spend, maybe it's not. It's tough to say sometimes, right? Like you said, with these games as a service, you're almost putting more into it than you need to. Sean, what do you think? Any game that you have not played that you're excited about trying to get into or that you've gotten into?
Oh, man. You know, I misread the question, and I thought it said one that you had recently gotten into. So I was going to tell you how much I love Ragnarok, man.
Well, there you go.
I purposely come to the game late on those because I like to be able to pick up the game with the season pass for like $60 when it's on sale. Yep. And I think I really started to love Assassin's Creed, I think, around 3 with ETO and everything. And then Origins was amazing. Odyssey, I would say, is maybe one of my all-time favorite video games ever. I adore Odyssey. And so then Ragnarok now. I don't think I like Ragnarok as much as Odyssey because I don't quite connect with the brutal nature of the Vikings. But, you know, it's wonderful, man. I love games where I can become better throughout the game. Like, I think that was my problem with Sea of Thieves is the fact that the only thing you can really get are, like, you know, different hats and like, you know, things that look different, cosmetic upgrades and things like that. I love games where I can continue to like make my character more badass. And by the end of the game, you know, I have a suit of armor from Zeus and like an axe that'll cleave 3 guys at once. Like that's the fun part of gaming for me, especially being a big single player gamer. Those games where I can spend $60-$70 with the DLC and put 100 hours of my life into it. That's great, man. I love games like that. And that's part of why I loved Grand Theft Auto so much, too. You know, you can put so much time into that game for under $60, whereas some of the average story games, what, you get like 12 hours out of them, and then you're like, cool, that was
probably the longest game in the last year that I tried to play that I did not beat was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That game was intensely big.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I was talking about, Valhalla. I didn't
mean that's Ragnarok. What I figured. Yeah, that's what I figured.
When he said Ragnarok, I thought he meant God of War. I was like, he played that on?
Unfortunately, that's going to probably cost you the win, but I agree with you.
Damn it. No, totally Ragnarok. Or that game, I said it again. Damn it. Valhalla. I love Valhalla.
It's a wild, you know, the game to me is a weird thing because Assassin's Creed's always been like sneak around, and this game feels so right to just go in and murder people, which doesn't feel right for an Assassin's Creed game. So I had a hard time with it. And then again, the map is huge, the game is huge. It's just a really big, expansive game. So yeah, easily can put 100 to 200 hours into that game.
Doubt.
And they're not even done with content too. I think they're going to have another year of content coming out for that game too.
And one just came out, the Paris one. So yeah, I love that game, man. All the Assassin's Creed games have been money. It's the mobile ones and stuff like that suck, and some of the side stories, but otherwise they Ubisoft, I think, just makes solid games, period.
Sean, well, do you think that the sneaking needs to come back though?
Do you think, you know, what's weird, man? Like the sneaking is still kind of there, but it's so hard in Valhalla. Like it's way different, man. Like I have not even gotten the achievement yet where you have to kill 10 people in a row without alerting someone. And I don't know if it's because like their vision is just better or I'm not as acute as I used to be a couple years ago.
We're all adults now. We don't play video games the same way.
And that's what I was going to say. I remember playing the original Assassin's Creed and I didn't run the whole game because I was so fearful that somebody was going to see me. What drew me to Assassin's Creed originally was the tag aspect of it, right? You go in, you kill somebody, and then it's about getting out. And that's what I feel like's kind of been lost since 3. Well, I know actually, a lot of people.
So this Paris one that's coming out, a big part of that is they're saying, okay, we have these missions now that are very much these single assassinations where you go in and there's like different cooler ways to assassinate some of these people as opposed to just run up to them on a podium and stab them in the face, which is kind of what that's turned into. So I think they kind of recognize that and they're trying to fix it with some of these DLCs, but there is something really badass about pulling your Viking ship up to a shore and jumping up and blowing your horn and having your entire crew start burning villages and stuff. Like that is also very cool.
For sure.
Of all of them, I think maybe Black Flag. Is that the pirate one?
Mm-hmm.
That one was fantastic. That had such a good mix of the, you know, the badass raids along with still having some stealth elements to it. And then Odyssey started to get away from stealth, and now we have this one, which is still great. I still
there might not be another great RPG coming out this year like what we saw in the last year. So if I'm forgetting one, please tell me in a minute, Elijah, when you come back in. Now, Sean, you were on such a roll with what you're talking about, but unfortunately, errors and mishaps on your part has given the victory today to Isaiah. So Isaiah, thank you. You're our winner for the day. So what I'm going to do is this is my first time doing this. I'm going to remove you out of here. I'm going to move you here to the big screen and I'm going to give you a second here to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. So let me do I'm going to do a fancy thing and then you're going to get to go for about 30 seconds. Okay.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the episode today. I want to ask you guys to check us out at linktr.ee/selectscreen. That's 5ELECT5CREEN. We do movie reviews, music reviews, video games. We do it all. We're your one-stop shop in a clean, cool environment. Shout out to my streaming partner, Elmo172331. We'd love to have you guys. Shout out to everybody who was on the stream with me as well. And again, it's linktr.ee/selectscreen, 5ELECT5CREEN. Thank you guys so much.
Bringing everybody back in now to say goodbye here. Elijah, Gary, what's the game? What game are you looking forward to, Gary, this year?
Gotham Knights. It's going to be amazing.
I'm super hyped for that too. Elijah, what do you got?
Super hyped.
There's this game called Loot River that's like Tetris.
I knew you'd say some weird game, Elijah. Keep going, sorry.
It's a game that's like basically Tetris meets a top-down hack and slash game like Hyper Light Drifter or like your Legend of Zeldas. But like when I say it's like Tetris, it's like imagine a Legend of Zelda top-down map and then you get to move the platforms around like they're Tetris blocks. So like you can have a spear out and be on your little platform and continually ram it into another like platform that just has dudes on it. And you're just like murdering them. It's incredible. So Loot River, check it out. Incredible.
Murder Tetris.
Like my kind of game.
Tetris.
It's really cool.
You guys, thank you all for being here today. Again, it was my first episode, so hopefully it wasn't horrible. I promise it'll keep getting better. The energy was good. I really, again, you guys are all great people, very opinionated, and I'm excited to have you guys back in the next months coming up. So thank you. Say goodbye. Everybody have a great day. We appreciate you.
Everybody.
Don't forget, check out Project Nerd. There's so much to watch and listen to. I'm Not Famous is great. Two Guys, One Film, Unbox It, G-Spot, Game Pitch. There's a lot of stuff you guys can check out. So go to projectnerd.com. To get that there. And again, thank you guys again for being here. Appreciate it. Have a good night.